This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. I'm so glad you're able to join me today as we continue our series on The Cross is Enough. Yesterday I finished by reading a powerful messianic psalm, Psalm 88, and it talks about how Christ endured the wrath of God. And you've laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness and the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, verse 7. And you've afflicted me with all of your waves. You know, it's just powerful to consider that Christ, you know, suffered the wrath of God in our place. Verse 15, I suffer your terrors, I'm distraught. Verse 16, your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. You see, Christ experienced, the terrors of bearing our sin, bearing our judgment, so that we could experience God's peace, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's salvation. And again, no man can ever conceive or imagine what Christ suffered as he was separated from the Father and endured God's wrath. Christ was betrayed, abandoned, mocked, beaten, spit upon, denied. And all this happened ever before he was whipped and crucified. You see, Jesus suffered God's wrath poured undiluted at the cross. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 38 to 50. And it says, then two robbers were crucified, and one on the right hand and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if you will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come down to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those who were with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Praise you, Jesus. You see, Christ suffered God's wrath poured undiluted at the cross. Another messianic psalm, Psalm 23, and Jesus actually quotes this psalm from the cross. And, it's powerful to consider that there are many prophecies that were fulfilled just through this one psalm when Jesus was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so, that's the first verse of Psalm 22. So Jesus quotes it from the cross. And Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3 and 4 says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. And verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You see, Christ was literally crushed beneath the dreadful weight of God's wrath towards sin. Dean L. Harvey said, the cross is a one-time visual representation of God's grief over sin. Exodus 7 and 8, I will soon pour out my wrath upon you and spend my anger against you. The divine wrath or anger of God towards sin and sinners was poured out on Christ at the cross. And at the cross, God's terrible wrath was satisfied. Isaiah 53:11, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And in view of this, how could any of us continue in our sin, knowing what Jesus endured on our behalf? For God's wrath has been satisfied, but at such a great price. So we no longer need to dread standing before God, because Christ stood in our place, bearing our sin and shame at the cross. He hung between heaven and earth as our mediator. And thus we will never see or taste God's wrath, because Christ carried it at the cross. And because Christ went to the cross, we will never go to hell. Job 9 and 32 says, God is not a mortal like me, so I cannot argue with him or take him to trial. If only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together. The mediator could make God stop beating me, and I would no longer live in terror of his punishment. Then I could speak to him without fear, but I cannot do that in my own strength. You see, Job yearned for redemption, and it is ours in Christ. The Son of God has been sacrificed, and the wrath of God has been satisfied. Praise God. Praise the Lord for the wonderful cross. Isaac Watts in his hymn At the Cross. At the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. That's Isaac Watts in the hymn At the Cross. And of course, Isaac Watts, 1674 to 1748. Hundreds of years later, those words still resonate with us today. The cross is enough because the Son of God has been sacrificed. The wrath of God has been satisfied, and finally, the sons of God have been reconciled. And I want to read a beautiful passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says in verse 17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through you. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so here we have this beautiful promise that we have been reconciled to God. And this means that our record of sins and violations of God's law has been blotted out forever. Our past has not just been forgiven, it no longer exists. God literally threw out the ledger that contained our record of wrongs. Hebrews 10:17, then he adds, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. The Amplified, and their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more, no longer holding their sins against them. This means that when Satan brings those memories of your past sins and failures to you, that he is speaking about a dead man. That man or woman is dead. Ultimately, it never happened. Why? Because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when somebody passes away, we dig a hole and we bury them. In the same way, the old person, the old you has died, and you are now a new person in Christ Jesus. Because the Bible says God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So just as God has reconciled us to him, he has given us the ministry of reconciling others to him by sharing the good news of the gospel. And that is why it says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Did you know that you are ambassador of heaven? You're an ambassador of Christ. You're a representative of Christ. God has entrusted us with the message of salvation, that we can share the gospel message with others who do not know the Lord. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Why? It says, verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. God literally made Christ to be sin at the cross. He didn't just bear our sins, he became our sins. He took our sins upon him as that sacrificial Lamb of God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so here, the supernatural exchange, we exchanged our sinful nature for the righteousness of Christ at the cross. Thank God the cross is enough. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, pray this simple prayer at me right now. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in my heart that you were born of a virgin and that you lived a perfect life, and that when you died on the cross, you died in my place, bearing my sin and shame. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus Christ, and forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Amen. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope that the peace and presence of Christ our Savior fills your heart and home in Jesus' name.